A reading from the Acts of the Apostles. Peter began to speak to those assembled in the house of Cornelius. I truly understand that God shows no partiality, but in every nation, anyone who fears him and does what is right is acceptable to him. You know the message he sent to the people of Israel, preaching peace by Jesus Christ. He is Lord of all. That message spread through Judea, beginning in Galilee, after the baptism that John announced, how God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Spirit and with power, how he went about doing good and healing all who were oppressed by the devil, for God was with him. We are witnesses to all that he did, both in Judea and in Jerusalem. They put him to death by hanging him on a tree. But God raised him on the third day and allowed him to appear, not to all the people, but to us who were chosen by God as witnesses, and who ate and drank with him after he rose from the dead. He commanded us to preach to the people and to testify that he is the one ordained by God as judge of the living and the dead. All the prophets testify about him, that everyone who believes in him receives forgiveness of sins through his name. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
Alleluia, alleluia. I am the first and the last, says the Lord, and the living one. I was dead, and behold, I am alive forevermore. Alleluia. Hear the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ according to John. Early on the first day of the week, while it was still dark, Mary Magdalene came to the tomb and saw that the stone had been removed from the tomb. So she ran and went to Simon Peter and the other disciple, the one whom Jesus loved, and said to them, "They have taken the Lord out of the tomb, and we do not know where they have laid him." Then Peter and the other disciple set out and went towards the tomb. The two were running together, but the other disciple outran Peter and reached the tomb first. He bent down to look in and saw the linen wrappings lying there, but he did not go in. Then Simon Peter came, following him, and went into the tomb. He saw the linen wrappings lying there and the cloth that had been on Jesus' head, not lying with the linen wrappings, but rolled up in a place by itself. Then the other disciple, who reached the tomb first, also went in, and he saw and believed. For as yet they did not understand the scripture that he must rise from the dead. Then the disciples returned to their homes, but Mary stood weeping outside the tomb. As she wept, she bent over to look into the tomb, and she saw two angels in white sitting where the body of Jesus had been lying, one at the head and the other at the feet. They said to her, "Woman, why are you weeping?" She said to them, "They have taken away my Lord, and I do not know where they have laid him." When she had said this, she turned round and saw Jesus standing there, but she did not know that it was Jesus. Jesus said to her, "Woman, why are you weeping? For whom are you looking?" Supposing him to be the gardener, she said to him, "Sir, if you have carried him away, tell me where you have laid him, and I will take him away." Jesus said to her, "Mary." She turned and said to him in Hebrew, "Rabuni," which means teacher. Jesus said to her, "Do not hold on to me, because I have not yet ascended to the Father, but go to my brothers and say to them, 'I am ascending to my Father and your Father, to my God and your God.'" Mary Magdalene went and announced to the disciples, "I have seen the Lord." And she told them that he had said these things to her. This is the gospel of the Lord.
May the words of my mouth and the meditation of all our hearts always be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, our strength and our Redeemer. Amen. Please be seated. Well, last week on Palm Sunday, for those of you with good memories, you may remember that I spoke about daring decisions defining destiny. That daring decision of Jesus to ride into Jerusalem, which, alongside the subsequent events of that week, led to his death and triumphant resurrection. Daring decisions made in kindness and supreme self-giving love. Jesus was totally unselfish. For the Son of Man came not to be served, but to serve and to give his life as a ransom for many. Now, that first reading we heard from Acts is actually some weeks after the resurrection, but the message is clear from Peter's speech. We are witnesses to all that he did, and they put him to death by hanging him on a tree. God raised him on the third day and allowed him to appear, not to all the people, but to us who were chosen by God as witnesses. Imagine being Peter giving that speech. 3 years, the last 3 years of Peter's life up to that point, and his view of life had been gradually turned utterly upside down. It all started with an unsuccessful fishing trip on Lake Galilee whilst washing his nets. Jesus, seeing they had caught nothing, told them to go out again and drop their nets into the deep water. And the result was astonishing. Help was needed from fishermen in other boats to land the catch. Peter was humbled by Jesus in this moment, fell to his knees. Go away from me, Lord, for I am a sinful man. Well, Jesus didn't go away from Peter, rather called Peter to follow him. And from now on, he would catch people. Peter took that daring decision, life-changing decision, to follow Jesus, not knowing where it was actually going to end up. A brave step of faith and trust with many twists and turns along the way. But gradually, Peter, knowing who Jesus is, found himself at the point of no return. When the heat of the kitchen was getting hotter, Jesus turned to the 12 apostles and asked them where they stood. And Peter said, Lord, to whom can we go? You have the words of eternal life. We have come to believe and know that you are the Holy One of God. 3 years of discipleship, culminating in that first Holy Week, from the Palm Sunday procession to the house with the locked doors after the horror of the cross. And of course, in between, we have that threefold denial at the charcoal fire in the courtyard. That first Easter Sunday evening, he saw and heard and felt the risen Jesus. Peace be with you, Jesus said, as Peter felt the heat of God's Holy Spirit coming from the mouth of the risen Christ. That was Peter's first true experience of meeting the risen Jesus. Yes, that gospel reading this morning, he'd gone to see the empty tomb. He'd heard Mary's testimony, but now, on the Sunday evening, this was very real to him. He will become a witness too, and a very vocal one at that. Our view on life is shaped by experience and what has become real to us. We might see photographs, watch films, read about something, but actually experiencing something or someone is what has the real transformative effect on us. I wonder what Peter was thinking when Mary told him the good news that the Lord has risen. There's nothing in the Gospels to suggest that he, as an individual, doubted her. But when he encountered the risen Lord for himself, there was never ever going to be any going back for him. Do you believe Jesus lives? And how did you come to accept this truth? For those who struggle to accept what the Gospels tell us, would more evidence still convince them? The resurrection was 2,000 years ago, so the written word from the apostles was the primary source of evidence available. What if it were now? Like a trial in a court, maybe we could have photographic evidence. Except photographic tampering would be possible. The Kate Middleton Mothering Sunday photo reminds us of that possibility. How about CCTV at the tomb? Ah, but AI has changed that too. And of course, there are still people who question that Neil Armstrong actually set foot on the moon. They question that video footage of those astronauts on that first successful mission to actually get on the moon. You might decide to re-roof your house, and the builder sends you a video on WhatsApp. But then the skeptic says, but how do you know it's your roof they sent the video of? So faith in the risen Jesus isn't really an academic exercise or something we can borrow or take from someone else. Knowing Jesus lives and truly accepting it is a personal journey of discovery and faith. I can't prove he lives to anyone. But we can recall too John's words at the original ending of his gospel, the end of John 20, when he says that these things are written that you may come to believe. The written words of those who saw, who touched and heard the risen Jesus. So we don't need photographs or films or scientific analysis in this particular subject. When we consider photographs, they capture just one moment from a single angle. Take something out of the context of the moment. We have to consider the whole picture, the whole story, our whole life experience, and piece our own evidence together over the course of time, alongside the Gospels and the Bible as a whole, through which God speaks to us today. And what has been made known to us by the grace of God. And then we can make our own decision. After this historic speech from Peter, what happened next? Well, we're told that the Holy Spirit poured out on the Gentiles that he was addressing. And through that, they believed too that Jesus lives. In that moment, they believed that Jesus lives. And they were baptized in water in Jesus' name. And I think it's fairly safe to assume that following on from that, they became witnesses too. The Holy Spirit is the reason risen Jesus' gift to his church. It's the Holy Spirit that keeps us in the love of the risen Jesus now. The Holy Spirit is Jesus' witness to us now, in order that we may witness for Christ. and improve our own fishing skills for him now, and to take our own daring decisions to define our destiny. The Lord be with you, and also with you. Amen.
So let us stand to sing our closing hymn, number 752, Thine Be the Glory. To love and serve the Lord. Alleluia, alleluia.
In the name of Christ, alleluia, alleluia.